Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we approach the text tonight, pray that you would help me to speak truly and clearly of your word. I pray that we can all understand it, and more importantly, take it to heart personally. Apply it to our lives in the most honest way. And I pray, Father, that you would help each of us to place it in our hearts, that we be people whose faith in you is clear and lived authentically. That we be the people who truly reflect you and who glorify you through our lives. I pray that you would help me to present this tonight humbly and honestly. And I pray, Father, that you would help us, each one, to be affected by this in such a way that it causes each of us to look at what kinds of changes must be within each of our lives. Through Christ I pray, amen. Please turn in your Bibles to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 14 through 26 tonight. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. These verses state what you and I and every member of this congregation must have at the forefront of our thinking. James writes to Christians, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." If I deflect James' teaching in these verses by applying it judgmentally to other people, then I'm deceiving myself. But if I humbly apply this to myself, then I am convicted of my neglect and of my selfishness. James wants us to understand clearly and strongly the relationship between faith and deeds or works, godly service. He is not teaching that a person is saved by works. Instead, he's following Paul's statement to Christians in Ephesians chapter 2. The passage begins in verse 8 and goes on through verse 10, where Paul says to Christians, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." When Paul writes to Titus, this idea of Christians being involved in doing good is repeated in every chapter of that short letter. James wants us to understand this so very clearly and strongly. His ultimate purpose for this teaching is found in here in chapter 2 of James in verses 21 and 25. And those two verses raise our most vital question. The most vital question that any human being can have about their life and their future. And most importantly, about their relationship to God. And that is this: how can you and I be considered righteous to God? James answers our question with several principles, and he states them negatively to cut us to the heart. He says in verse 14 that faith without actions does not save. In chapter 1, in verses 19 through 27, James contrasted listening to God's word and acting on it versus listening and quickly forgetting what it says. He emphasizes real faith, faith in action. In verse 27, he speaks of the kind of religion that God accepts as pure and faultless. And when you think about this statement, James says, the kind of religion that God accepts as pure and faultless, and then he goes on to explain that, it really says that there is also a kind of religion that God does not accept. Because the kind of religion that God accepts as being pure and faultless involved action. It had to do with caring for widows and orphans and keeping oneself unspotted from the world. The kind of religion that God does not accept is a religion or a faith that is inactive. In chapter 2 of James, in verse 14, James seems to be saying that an inactive faith is not faith at all. You and I know from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we must have faith. But our faith must be genuine if we're to be saved by God. Hebrews 11 then showcases person after person by name and many, many more without name, whose faith pleased God because, solely because, they acted on their faith. Their faith was proven, we might say. And as a result, these people, all of these people that are listed in Hebrews 11, were saved by God. Their faith was not just in word. Their faith was not just in thought. Their faith was not just in ideal. Their faith was in action. James takes this to its logical conclusion, saying in chapter 2 of James in verse 17 that faith without actions is dead. More than hollow faith with no substance to it. This is hypocritical faith. It's a faith that really denies our faith and dishonors God in the process. This is self-deceiving, and it's devoid of life. Good intentions, good thoughts, and good wishes without actions have no life and bring no life. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? I can have faith in God's existence. I can have faith in all of God's attributes. I can have faith in all of God's promises. And yet, my faith can be dead if it's not active in the way that James and Jesus calls for it to be. I can be strong on Bible knowledge, and I can be firm in doctrinal beliefs, and yet, for lack of faith in action, my faith is dead. What this means is what James impresses in verse 18, that faith without actions is unproven. While each one of us who is Christian is given different spiritual gifts in order to fulfill God's purposes in each of us, the truth is that faith-compelling actions are not spiritual gifts in themselves. You and I must put legs on our faith by actions that naturally flow from our faith. This is applied in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. It says of men who are being considered to serve as deacons in a congregation that they must be first tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. Since deacon and deaconess both mean servant, the most basic test they would have is, how has this person put their faith in action by serving? If our faith does not have action, it does not save. It's dead, and it's unproven. And therefore, as James points out in verse 19, faith without actions is meaningless. For our faith in God to be meaningful, you and I must make the most profound change of life. That is, that we must completely abandon our will and fully embrace God's will for our life. When we've died to ourselves and are devoted to God working through us to His glory, then we live to seek and to see opportunities to put our faith into action in serving others. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul told Christians, "It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purposes." God will only work in me if that's my heart's desire. Our faith is meaningless if it's only internal. It must be external to have meaning. In other words, it must produce actions. Similar to his previous principle, as if to underline it, James says in verse 20 that faith without actions is useless. I don't know about you, how you are reacting to these things that James is saying. But for me, the weight of faith without actions and all that James has said thus far makes my heart grow increasingly heavy with each sentence he writes. As I evaluate myself in light of what he says, my conviction of neglect and of selfishness grows. Neither Abraham nor Rahab would have been considered righteous by God if they had not put their faith into action. Their faith was tested by extreme actions, but so were the people of faith that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. None of it was internal faith. None of it was cerebral or intellectual faith. None of it was ideal. All of it was faith that was put on the line that demanded action as a result of their faith. Active faith does not always require extreme actions of us, though. But it does always require that we put God's will for our lives above ourselves. James continues the idea of being considered righteous by God by saying in verse 24 that faith without actions is unjustified. Abraham and Rahab did not have intellectual faith. They were justified by God due to their faith-filled actions, which made their faith complete. Faith not put into action is incomplete. You and I can study the Bible for the entirety of our lives. We can become extremely knowledgeable in it. We can quote it left and right. Perhaps, like some I've heard of and even have been in the presence of, we may be able to quote the Bible from beginning to end and impress people left and right, and we may have a heart that is devoted to God and devoted to His will and devoted to learning about Him and is devoted to learning the right doctrines and learning all the ways that we may praise God and that we should praise God and learning to the extent that we surpass everyone else around us. But if our faith is not put into action, all of that is worthless and useless and meaningless. It's unjustified and it's incomplete. As a final reinforcement, James says in verse 26 that faith without actions is dead. Yes, I know, he said that before. James knows that too. James has said all of these things as if to put nails into a casket, or perhaps nailing us to a cross of our own. I certainly feel that way when I read these things and I think about myself in relation to them. I'd like James to just leave me alone. But he's speaking truth, God's truth, and I cannot avoid it. John Scott wrote this about his faith that was not active. And you may find yourself relating to this. He writes, "Two doors down, I witnessed a tragedy Saturday. No, not one that we'll read about in the newspaper, but nonetheless a tragedy. A huge moving van opened its cavernous mouth and consumed the furniture and belongings of a young family. Three blonde-headed boys got into the station wagon with their mother and followed the moving van east. The father, in his sedan, headed west. The tragedy? Another home broken. Two doors down, I never knew of any domestic turmoil. They always smiled and waved as I jogged down the street. He always asked how many miles I was going. Their well-manicured lawn matched all the rest and revealed none of the misery which must have been behind their closed doors. Two doors down stands an empty house that will always silently rebuke me. I never reached out to the family. I did introduce myself the day they moved in, but that was it. No invitations into our home. No invitations to worship with us. No meaningful interactions with them. Just smiles and waves and talk of how many miles I plan to run. We're busy people, all of us. This is a fast-paced society in which we live. We run on well-defined tracks. We've little time to venture off our tracks and slow our pace to interact with people who are not imperative for our ongoing and well-being. But we can and must expand and extend the ministering hand of Christ because there are people hurting, families shattered, lives tormented, just two doors down." You and I don't even have to look two doors down to put our faith into action, do we? We may only need to look across the desk at work or the desk at school or across the table at home. God gives us so many opportunities
to put our faith into action. Our challenge usually is to get our minds off ourselves and to think more about others. I recently had an opportunity to look across our church parking lot to put my faith into action. We had some homeless young men here, all in their 20s, who were sleeping around our building. I invited one of them to join us for Bible class, and he did. But I did nothing to help him to become housed. I did little more than say to him, as James says, "Go, I wish you well. Keep warm and well fed." But I did not put my faith into action. And now, he and the others are gone, but not helped. I want to ask you to not come up to me after worship and try to soothe my cut heart. It's what God wants me to feel. He wants me to feel it every moment and every hour and every day until I put my faith into action with every opportunity he provides. These young men were opportunities, and they were dropped literally on our doorsteps. One of them was sleeping on the front steps of this building night after night. And I failed to make the most of the opportunity that God calls for us to make, the opportunity that I preach and teach about regularly. I want God to consider me righteous, don't you? Amen? I want my faith to be alive and to bring God's saving eternal life to others, don't you? I want to repent. I want to repent first to God. I want to repent to you, and I want to repent to others for my inactive faith, and I want to recommit to active faith, don't you? And tonight, maybe a time to do that. If you, like me, realize that your faith has not been as active or active at all, if you realize that there's been opportunity after opportunity that you've had to live your faith and to share your faith, to take specific, concrete, Christ-like action to do for others, to show Christ living in you, and you've let it drop time after time, this may be just the time for you to make the recommitment. Perhaps you feel that your actions have been such that you need to ask for prayers of others, or perhaps you just need to silently and quietly within your own heart repent to God. However we can help you, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.